MasterRadio.fm has compressed thousands of podcasts and all of our radio shows into the ultimate internet marketer's knowledge base. Introducing the new WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, absolutely free and now available for iPhone and Android users. Listen to our live broadcasts at the push of a button or access our complete archive of shows, past and present, like SEO 101, Affiliate Buzz, The Shoe Money Show, The Daily Search Cast, and so much more. Download it now from the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store today.
From the official radio network of the Performance Marketing Insights Conference, WebmasterRadio.fm presents the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast. Get ready for a half-hour discussion where our guests and hosts will discuss the important issues affecting performance marketing. And now, the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Performance Marketing Insights here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's fantastic to be back again. Tonight, we are 6 days away from our show in New York, and we're getting incredibly excited about the two-day conference. But equally, you know, I'm very much excited to have two distinguished guests on our show this evening. We have Ewan Darby, who is the Global Head of Performance and Affiliate Marketing at Neo at Ogilvy. How are you doing, Ewan?
Very well, thank you. Very well. In a cold New York.
In a cold New York. Well, it's no better here in England, I can tell you that, my friend. And we also have industry legend Evan Weber, from CEO of Experience Advertising, on the show. How are you, Evan?
I'm great. Thanks for that introduction. I'll take it.
No worries. Well, I think you've been in the industry for a decade or so, even longer than that, isn't it?
I've been in the online marketing industry for over 15 years, but I've been dealing with affiliate programs and affiliate channel for 10 or so.
10 or so years. So that makes you an industry legend in my eyes. So welcome very much to the show. And, of course, I was rude enough not to introduce my co-host. So, sorry, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Matt. Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good. We've got, for the listeners out there, we're avid Bristol City supporters who play in the lower divisions of the English Football League, and they're playing tonight. So we're missing the game, but it's on in the other room. No, I'm only kidding. We're hoping for a win, otherwise we're going to get relegated to a division that's not worthy of even watching. So fingers crossed for Bristol City here in England. But less of me rambling on. We've got some topics tonight to cover on the show that will include... we're going to touch on a few things, actually, today. We're going to look at some news of the industry in the last week. We're going to look at the role of agencies over in the US and how they differ to Europe. We'll probably try and touch on brand control as well as some other ad hoc things that we go as we go along on the show. So, you know, let's start with some news for the week, Chris. I mean, what's been happening in the industry?
So there's a couple of things I thought I'd just pick up on, especially from what we've been doing on AFU this week. And obviously IE10 a little while back was releasing some information about third-party cookies will be turned off by default. So for the industry as a whole and, you know, online marketing, I guess, in terms of what we're doing of tracking users and tracking marketing channels and you know, displaying certain inventory, it's an interesting topic. And actually, we had a story today on AFU which was released about Firefox and their new release of their browser, which actually blocks third-party cookies as well. But what
by
we did
default,
was we...
Right?
Yeah, by default. And what we did is some of the guys at TradeDoubler actually downloaded the beta version of the new browser and did some severe testing just to see how the affiliate cookie was... received and whether it was, you know, passing through. And actually, it's good news, I guess, for the affiliate channel in that the affiliate network's click is actually known as a first click. So it is tracked and measured as default. But actually, there is an issue around retargeting in that, you know, several areas that do rely on third-party cookies. So their cookies need to be dropped on the advertiser site in order to retarget them later on. So actually, it could be quite concerning. And initially, people don't upgrade their browsers until, you know, 2, 3, 4 months down the line from when the release comes available. So it could be an issue that you might not see the repercussions of until it's not released until June, but repercussions might not be seen until, you know, October time, just before Christmas.
Well, there's a massive host of retargeting affiliates or companies using RTB and real retargeting in the UK that's just sprung up of nowhere over the last 12 months. And, you know, Evan, Ewan, what do you guys think about this? I mean, how heavy is retargeting in the US? And do you think that this default switching off of third-party cookies in Firefox is going to be something the industry needs to, you know, consider and think about?
Well, I can give my opinion. Well, retargeting is pretty huge over here. I would say well over half of e-commerce websites are actively using retargeting on the web, either through AdWords or through, you know, an ad roll or a retargeter or, you know, the Facebook Exchange type stuff. So I think it's still gaining popularity as far as with merchants. Bigger affiliates, I would think, are using it a little bit more. So the medium to smaller size web publishers probably aren't tapping into it as such because either they don't even know it exists or it's just cost prohibitive for them. They, you know, the cost is not going to, you know, justify the amount of commissions it could generate in traffic back to their website. But I do think it's fertile ground for bigger affiliates and web publishers to be leveraging that channel, whereas in the past it just wasn't available at all to them. So with the cookie stuff with Firefox, I mean, we'll just have to see. I mean, these issues have popped up in the past, and they've sort of resolved themselves, and nothing's really been affected, but we'll just have to see. But if that is the case, then that will put a damper on things, and less affiliate, you know, cookies will be tracked, and less affiliates will earn commissions. And it's, you know, it goes back to campaign crossover and, you know, campaign, you know, websites having multiple sources of traffic prior to purchase and which campaign is going to be credited. And it just all goes into the whole ball of wax that, you know, encompasses all of that. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. But anything with prohibiting cookies is not good for the affiliate channel, probably.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you've got some big clients at Neodogilvy, I mean, British Airways for one, Sony, I believe. And you know, what do you think about this for your clients? You know, are you worried that affiliates or RTB or retargeting affiliates won't be able to promote you?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think in the performance channel, real-time bidding has become a critical element of performance marketing over the last 18 months, 2 years. We've seen it in the UK where it was, you know, kind of less than 5% of what we were doing for clients in a display environment, and is now accounting for up to 60, 70% of clients' online spend.
Wow.
So It's become increasingly critical. However, we've also seen that the industry changes and develops and morphs at such an incredible rate. And looking at the figures, you know, Firefox accounts for around about 21-22% of browser usage. So, you know, in terms of a threat, we're looking at, you know, a diminished number, but still, you know, a very credible one. In terms of what it means for real-time bidding and for building cookie pools, you know, the effect is going to be slightly longer lasting than perhaps the 4 or 5 months on browser adoption and you know, new variant downloads, where the cookie pools will still outlast that that period to a certain degree. But it is a threat. I mean, this is not to downplay it. I think anything that stops a performance marketing agency or brand understanding how to best target their consumers is a very big deal. And we, I think, as an industry, have to understand and have to agree how we're going to approach this in the most ethical, profitable, and cost-effective manner.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we've got 2 minutes till break, guys. I mean, what's been happening over in the US that's hit the headlines recently? And anything to share briefly?
Regarding the affiliate space? You know, the affiliate legislation is still a major problem and issue, and put a major drag on things in the US. Different states rolling out their affiliate nexus tax, internet tax legislation, and that's put a major drag on things, and trying to resolve that on a national level will be hopefully, you know, Congress is going to move towards a solution for that, and so we can get a level playing field with that. But that's really been the biggest issue hindering the explosive growth of the affiliate industry on a year-over-year basis. And, you know, dealing with all the publishers and having them sign affidavits from the different states, and it's interjected a major management issue. And, you know, that's what we're there for. That's what we do as an agency. We handle these issues for our clients, and we deal with the publishers and getting them, you know, the right paperwork and allowing them to remain in the program if they sign the right paperwork, or removing them altogether. It really depends on what the merchant wants to, how they want to proceed, and we sort of carry out whatever their mandate is for how the issue is handled on a state-by-state level. So that's really been, you know, something that's interjected a drag on the industry in an otherwise prosperous, growing industry. That's been something that's been, you know, very problematic, in my opinion. So hopefully we'll see a resolution to that at some point.
It'd be great to get that level playing field in and just get this out of the way. I mean, it's been going on for years, isn't it, in different states and stuff. So it'd be fantastic. So, guys, you know, it's break time already. I think what we're going to do is go for break, and then we will look at the role of agencies and how agencies have changed over the last 12 months. So let's cut to a break, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast when we return.
Discuss and shape the future of performance marketing in New York City, March 12th through the 13th at the Performance Marketing Insights Conference. Come hear from and talk to other global industry leaders as they share how they're developing new revenue streams, deploying the latest technologies, preparing for increased regulation, and leveraging for the most effective digital advertising channels. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners can save 15% on registration by using the promo code WEBMPMI15. That's WEBMPMI15. For more information and to register today, visit PerformanceMarketingInsights.com.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world, Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sort with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers. And join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let Majestic wield its mighty sword. MajesticSEO.com. It's good to be king.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brad Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Welcome back to the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast here on Webmaster Radio FM. We have two distinguished guests this evening, as well as my co-host Chris Johnson. We have Ewan Darby, who's the Global Head of Affiliate and Performance Marketing at Neil Ogilvy, and Evan Weber, the CEO of Experience Advertising. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Great. And Chris, you still there? You haven't gone to the football, have you?
No, I'm still here, unfortunately. No, I'm joking. I'm still here. No worries.
Great. Well, the role of agencies, guys. I mean, Evan, you've been in, you said you've been working in the affiliate agency space for 10 years. You must have seen the industry morph as Ewan suggested, and encompass and embrace different business models in the space. But how have you changed as an industry, and how have agencies around you changed in the industry in the last 12 months?
Well, on a broad level, digital agencies in the U.S., you know, most of them don't even deal with affiliate marketing, so that's why I went into affiliate marketing and affiliate management as an agency, because most of the U.S.-based digital agencies, they don't know how to handle that channel or, you know, grow it or exploit it. So regarding the agencies that do focus on the performance space, you know, I can only speak for myself, and, you know, I'm in direct competition with all of them. And, you know, I know how we handle issues. One of the major issues is educating the merchants about the affiliate channel. And, you know, most merchants think every affiliate is sort of created equal, and they think they're all just our affiliates, you know, a giant blob of affiliates, and they need to be treated equally and paid the same, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Every affiliate is their own case-to-case entity, and, you know, different types of affiliates need to be paid less or more commission based on the type of traffic they're bringing and the type of thing they have going on. And in order to maximize the ROI on the entire channel for the client, we have to go and micromanage the affiliate payouts. So over time, you can get a gauge on lifetime value that the affiliates are bringing in on a publisher level, and you can go and, you know, whether it's a coupon affiliate or a toolbar publisher or a web publisher or, you know, someone who owns a newsletter list or a fan page, and different affiliate types can be paid out different commission rates, and not only to motivate them, but to also offset some of the, you know, ROI loss that can occur with certain types of affiliates. So that's a major education hurdle that has to be overcome, and I'm always sort of dumbfounded by how clueless, I call them clueless merchants, people, you know, companies that have affiliate programs running on the major affiliate networks, and they just don't know what's going on in there. They don't know who's producing, what type of affiliate they may be, and, you know, they're really looking at it on a broad level and not micromanaging it. So one of the things we do is we micromanage all of the relationships, and of course, and then we have to, you know, adjust payouts accordingly to not only maximize ROI across the channel for the client, but also to motivate some of the people bringing in new customers as opposed to, you know, people looking for a coupon or people, you know, being subjected to a toolbar. Although we do accept those type of publishers in most programs, their payouts have to be managed separately and differently than a regular web publisher.
Absolutely. And you must have a slightly different opinion, I guess, from Evan, because you've come from a London background agency. You've moved over to New York. Was it 12 months ago?
Or? Yeah, it's 14 months ago, nearly 15.
15 months ago. Wow. So you must have had a bit of maybe a shock to the system about how the U.S. works. I mean, what have your learnings been and the differences between the U.K. and the U.S.? What were you surprised about and how things work in the U.S.? And what are your insights, really?
Well, that's a very good question. I read an interesting article the other day by Keg Marketing, and they were talking about something very similar. And it strikes me that I suppose the biggest difference is the regulation that's in place in the market here, and the pressures that are on affiliate networks and affiliates are not the same as they are maybe in Europe and in the UK. Now, I think there's a number of reasons why that's happened. Both markets have developed in a kind of microclimate, and, you know, much like sparrows on different islands in the Galapagos, depending on the conditions, they grow up and look very different. And so, you know, the market now in North America, while it's incredibly exciting, And there's huge opportunity for affiliates and for advertisers. There's also still some trepidation by advertisers and who have maybe sort of put their toe in the water some years ago and really felt bitten by the experience, that it wasn't a very positive one. They didn't feel that they had transparency into activity. There wasn't a sense of control that they could have over the program. I think to Evan's point, you know, the role of an agency in North America is probably more important here than anywhere. To help guide and handhold clients through what can be a pretty trepidous experience, and help them understand how it segues into a bigger performance marketing piece, how it dovetails with other channels, how the sales or the actions must be incremental, and what we do to understand and to achieve that. And I think, you know, having come from the UK, where you've got, you know, myriad of networks, probably, you know, 10 good networks, to North America, where there's probably two, and a host of others. It's a very different marketplace.
Do you think, you know, we talked about the transparency and the regulation, and we've achieved that or managed to do that in the UK, but there seems to be a bottleneck somewhere in the US. I mean, is it that the likes of the traditional affiliate networks, let's say, that they don't see it as an urgent thing or necessarily in their interest? I mean, where's the bottleneck for this transparency and regulation in the industry in the USA?
That's a very good question. I mean, ultimately that has to be driven by clients. Ultimately, they're the ones who are paying the bills. Ultimately, they're the ones who have to call the shots. And I think what happened in the UK, especially because, and you know, a lot of, we're going to be doing a lot of comparisons, I think, over the next week or so between UK and US. And I think for good reason. One of the reasons is because the UK is a very sophisticated market. And I don't mean that as in its, in a highbrow kind of way. I mean, it's had to develop very quickly. It's had to be very agile because of a lot of the burdens on the business, which the US simply hasn't had to cope with. And I think one of the reasons for that, there's been two organizations that have been pretty key. The first has been things like the A4U, which I believe has been terribly important in the development of affiliate marketing. But I also think the IAB, five years ago, in setting the agenda, where we were able and very fortunate to get a lot of people in the same place and say, okay, what are the key issues for this business over the next 2 years? How are we going to tackle those issues? I mean, at the time, it was about brand bidding, and it was around when the IAB kind of really got going, is around the use of voucher codes. And yes. You know, ethical use of voucher codes. So those were the kind of the seeds that we were able to grow quite a significant business change from. And I think the US, where you've got a lot of businesses now coming online, now wishing to trade online, there's still a good throughput of new organizations coming into the market. There's still a new heavy funnel of new operators coming into the US, and so there doesn't appear to be a pressure on the networks that are already there and are already managing that business to make significant changes to those programs or to implement the kind of structures and rigors that maybe we've got elsewhere.
I think you're right, and you know, you've got the Performance Marketing Association in the US, which is a fantastic organization, and there is a panel there, and you know, I would shout out to Brian Littleton, who is the chair this year, that he makes transparency and regulation a key priority, but then also you've got people within that organization sitting on that panel that believe that regulation and transparency does not sit with the affiliate network, and that's something that sits a little bit uncomfortable with me, I guess, because the affiliate networks, whether it's a technology-based platform or a full-service network, should and are there as gatekeepers and as the middleman for all of these relationships. And I don't know about you two. I mean, Evan, do you think that? I know we've got a break in a minute, but do you think the role of regulation should sit with the network?
Well, you know, historically the networks have done some stuff to kind of make sure things run smoothly. At the end of the day, the networks are making money off of every type of affiliate that they allow to operate in their network. Regarding transparency, a lot of the bigger networks like CJ, Linkshare, the Google Network, ShareSale, I mean, there's full transparency. When you get down to the, you know, smaller, what they call CPA affiliate networks, then you lose the transparency. But those networks operate with a lot of, you know, email publishers and people and incentivize things and things of that nature. A lot of the reason why merchants get burned through the affiliate experience is because the networks don't really inform them of the nature of all the affiliates that they may be accepting into their program. So what ends up, because it's just so diverse, and you know, it would be a monumental effort to kind of inform the merchant about every single affiliate and how they do their thing. And they only find these things out a couple months later when they get some cancellations, some returns, you know, things like incentivized publishing, producing a lot of returns. And then, you know, your merchant account is in jeopardy, and, you know, your affiliate relationships put it in that situation. So there's a lot of, you know, pitfalls in the affiliate industry. While there's a lot good going on, there's also a lot of treachery that you need to avoid, that, you know, an uninformed merchant, which is really why I went into this, and I wish I could touch more merchants and really let them know what the situation is with all the different publishers and how they produce revenue and traffic, but I just can't, you know, touch everybody. But my mission sort of is to do that. And by, you know, everyone I end up speaking to, I break down the whole ins and outs of every type of web publisher and, you know, every type of affiliate and what they need to watch out for, whether they use my agency or not. I just feel compelled to do that just based on my experience and what I know.
I've been pushed for a break. I do apologize. Sure. It's time flies on this show. We could talk about this topic for hours and hours. So let's head to a commercial break now. And after the show, Chris is going to touch on this. You know, this is another really hot topic, and it kind of ties into what we were talking about. And I must say, it's really difficult to have Evan and Ewan on the show because I always pronounce both wrong. So we're going to talk about brand control right after this break.
Stay tuned for more of the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast when we return.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Ever wondered how you could have access to your own SEO expert, paid search specialist, or social media wizard? Looking for help with your affiliate, display media, or email marketing?
Look no further than the folks at Fang Digital Marketing.
Fang Digital specializes in both paid and organic search, social media, display, and mobile advertising solutions, and is staffed by industry veterans from Google, Yahoo,
and one of the industry's most influential PPC experts.
Fang Digital's award-winning staff stays on top of the latest in digital trends and offer tailored solutions so they can audit your progress and build a roadmap to your success. Learn more about their expanding range of full-service strategic marketing solutions at fangdigital.com. That's FANGdigital.com.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Welcome back to the Performance Marketing Insights Podcast, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
so welcome back to the Performance Marketing Insights Show. This is your co-host speaking. Now we're going to talk, I've been told to say brand control to Major Tom during the break interview, but I said I wouldn't say it, but there you go.
Come on, where's your singing voice?
We'll sing it, yeah. Maybe next week at PMI if you come along. So we've touched on brand control a little bit. We've touched on regulation, the role of the agency. So guys, we haven't got too long left, but I just thought I wanted to get your take on, brand control as through the agency, especially in an unregulated market. How hard is it for you guys to secure investment within the channel? The main goal, for everyone, is to increase the sales revenue, increase the expenditure, and increase the industry that we're passionate about. So, I think we'll start with you, Evan. What do you do in order to secure more investment to flow through the channel?
Well, regarding brand control and trademark protection, we use a tool called Brand Verity, which monitors all the search engines and makes sure that affiliates aren't, brand bidding or coupon code bidding when they're not supposed to or not allowed to. So that's a major tool that allows us to, gives us reporting and allows us to notify and to take action if we find that to be the case. So we have a heavy moderation thing going on with brand control. And, the nice thing about the bigger affiliate networks is you can control the creative inventory in the account, and when you decide you want to switch it or swap it, it automatically swaps on the affiliate's website. So that's important. We don't do a lot in the email blasting channel, but there are tools that one can use to monitor what kinds of email communications are sent out and make sure they're all compliant. And, compliance is huge because bigger brands don't want their brand abused. And they don't want affiliates taking it and doing whatever they decide. And they also don't want affiliates using, whatever unapproved means, whether it's incentivization or, join this and get this, and using their brands in that type of atmosphere or, in that type of environment, because it does bring returns and it does bring disgruntled people. So, affiliates, you have to watch it and you have to kind of police it very heavily, because and that's where an agency is most beneficial, is we can police what the affiliates are doing to a certain degree and make sure that they're not taking it and doing whatever they see fit. Otherwise, you run into a lot of compliance issues and just trademark issues with the bigger brands. Smaller brands, not so much, but bigger brands are definitely more conscious of what the affiliates are doing, and they want to have a slight strict control over that. So that's something that we try to make happen.
Sure. I mean, and I guess it must be very similar to you, and I know Ogilvy, you guys have got some massive brands. So investing in the channel, how do you guys do it as well?
Well, it's a good question. There's a lot of tools out there to monitor brands and to keep them protected. I mean, unfortunately, and it's still the same case the world over, that whenever we see spikes in traffic, we always get a little bit worried, particularly if we're not expecting it, from individual affiliates. But there are a lot of tools out there that we can use. And in terms of getting more investment for the channel, one of the key things that I think has been most successful for our clients has been able to demonstrate on a singular basis what an individual affiliate can provide in terms of incrementality, safety, communication, positioning, and so forth. So we test with one as an example, for example, in cashback or in vouchers or, in whatever kind of sector it might be, and we can show them what the impact is broken out, not just against other affiliates, but against all other media. So we can show incrementality versus search, for example, versus display clicks, display impressions, and follow that right the way through to, even kind of 2 years down the line, and about, how long customers from each channel stay with one client. So it really depends who the client is and what kind of sector they're in, but we're very fortunate to have a lot of tools at our disposal to be able to demonstrate incrementality, value, and reasons for investment. And we've been pretty good at that. I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, it does come down to just damn hard work. Working with affiliates and developing those relationships and those with the client. You know, one of the most valuable things I think you can do is get an affiliate and a client on the phone call and help each other understand one another's business needs. Absolutely. And I think, you know, for all the technology that's out there and for all the clever things that we can do, at the end of the day, we're in a relationship business and there's nothing stronger than developing those relationships.
Totally right. Agree. Absolutely agree. And sorry, Evan, did you...
Well, let me touch on investing in the channel, because I didn't mention that, but that's something that's sort of near and dear to me. It's really hard to get clients to throw money at the channel beyond, you know, paying launch fees and things of that nature or paying higher commission rates. Well, one thing they want to... I don't have a problem with it because I can present a convincing case to spend, you know, a couple thousand on some recruiting mailers or run a contest and give away some iPads or, you know, do fun and exciting things to boost up the publisher base and get them excited. But across the board, companies don't invest in their affiliate channel because they just don't believe the money is going to be well spent and recruit enough people to move the needle. And that's purely because they just haven't been able to demonstrate that in the past. A good agency or a good in-house team should be able to leverage the network's recruiting tools, whether it's asking for publisher lists from the network or using the email-based recruiting tools on the network to build a program which have cost, and, you know, and then running contests, sales contests, things of that nature or motivating people like a first sale bonus or, you know, hit a certain level and get more money or just flat out earn more commissions this month. So those are the type of things that need to be implemented, and the case needs to be presented to the client, and then the merchant has to see the results, and, you know, it increased traffic 20% and commission, you know, revenue by 30% during the time period after the money was invested, and then you can say, okay, it worked, let's do it again. So measuring the effectiveness of the recruiting mailers and the different ways that we use to build the accounts that merchants aren't able to do of their own volition or in-house managers, that's really where an agency does, you know, sort of shine if they do it properly. So, yeah. But investing in the channel is one of those issues where companies, they're just very cheap with their affiliate channel in general, and they don't want to throw money at it because they just don't know if the money is sort of kind of like a charity. You give money to a charity, you don't know if it's going to the people that it's intended to. So you don't give as much as you could. But if you can document and demonstrate the results, then you can convince the client to spend more to build the channel and recruit more publishers. So.
Okay, guys, we've got to really wrap up. I mean, the time has absolutely flown. A huge thank you to both of my guests here this evening, this afternoon. Now, what's the best way, guys, to contact you very briefly? Is it Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter. My Twitter handle is TheOnlyEwan.
Ewan, okay. Evan, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Experience Ads. I'm more of a phone based. You know, you can call me at 954-662-8010 or email me evan@experienceadvertising.com and just call me or email me directly if anyone wants to speak to me.
You're both speaking at the Performance Marketing Insights Conference on the 12th, 13th of March. I look forward to seeing you there, guys. If there are still tickets when this show airs, it's on Thursday, of course, today, Thursday, you can use the discount code WebPMI15. That will knock 15% off the ticket price if there are tickets remaining. So a huge thank you again. We've got to wrap up. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much, Chris, as well. Cheers. And we'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.